live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 252. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. We've got a big show this evening. We'll be joined by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong, momentarily. Big show this evening. We've got NBA playoffs. The NBA playoffs are wild, and they are in full swing. We'll be talking that and more. We've got NBA playoff talk. We've got Pacers postseason draft lottery talk going on. We've got head coach, Ball State golf head coach Mike Fleck will be joining us at 7:30. He joins us again. We're going to talk all things golf, check in on his Ball State Cardinals, a couple tournaments left this year. We'll talk to him about that and more. We've got some quick hitters, plenty to talk about, whether it be the NIL deals, the transfer portals, as well as a couple quick hitters in the NFL and more. But this will be an NBA and golf heavy show. So joining as always, my co-host, John Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, Brandon Reif, it is a pleasure to be back Wednesday to Wednesday. It's always too long, you know what I'm saying, when we do the podcast, man. But it's good to be back. I put a little pre-show together about noon today, man. And I think I was talking too slick about the NBA, and Facebook shut it down.
Yeah, you had a good 4 minutes. Good 4 minutes.
Yeah, I had a good 4 minutes and nothing but dead silence, man. But we'll make it up tonight. You know what I'm saying? It was golden, I promise y'all. Better than Harold Crosell. But, like, nah, man, like I said, it's good to be back. Brandon, like, great rundown, man. So where do you want to start?
Let's dive right in with the NBA. I think that's where we got to start off at. My God, have the NBA playoffs started? There is a lot to talk about with the playoffs. I don't even know where I want to begin with it.
Well, here's what I'll say, Brandon. I was so, for the last six weeks, I love basketball. I know you do as well. But for the last 6 weeks of the regular season, I watched it, but I tuned it out. I watched it like it was an all-star game. Any regular season game, I kind of watch like an all-star game, right? And I will say for me, Brandon, the play-in had some level of intensity because guys seemed like wanted to get to the playoffs, right?
Right.
And then once the play-in was done, you kind of wipe your hands of it, and then you automatically into the playoffs. And, Brandon, I feel like these games, except for like maybe Atlanta, Atlanta and Boston, I think these series have been competitive, so like where they should have been playing like this all the time.
Yeah, it's definitely been very intriguing. I'll start with the elephant in the room one, the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings. This drop down drag out flight between Sabonis and Draymond Green.
We've seen worse in our lifetime now.
We have. I don't know if he should have been suspended. Worse. I didn't think it was suspension worthy, but I don't believe it was for the kick from what I read. It was his antics and a trend of things. I mean, listen, John, all we needed was one drink thrown last night, and it was Malice in the Palace Part 2, I feel like.
It could have been, right.
He was acting on all the fans. I got fans flipping him off. I got him calling people the P-word. I mean.
Right. Now, that's not to say what Sabonis did. That's out of the John Stockton handbook of what we learned at Gonzaga, right?
Yeah.
So, Bob, you're right, man. I thought they should have both got fined, $25,000, whatever that looks like. They should have both got fined and should have been able to play. But Draymond Green inflamed his situation when he turned and made a mockery of being thrown out of the game and everything. So
mockery, huh?
I don't know, man. They have to be getting tired of the Draymond Green act in Golden State. This is too critical right now.
I kind of loved it last night. Or the night that happened. I loved it the night that it happened, watching it live.
But,
I'm just
hey,
like,
man, the NBA, listen, like I said, I was tuned out. Now you tune back. The NBA is great theater, is it not?
It is, man, but we're getting too much, and I don't know if it's the players being soft. Where's the fine line as well? Because my man's coming from the halftime locker room, Westbrook, and he gets called Westbrook, and he gets soft at that. He says he's going to beat that guy's ass. And
then he wants to fight. Right.
I mean, what the heck's going on?
We got the owner. We got our owner saying they need to make the charge line go away. Mark Cuban. I don't know, Brandon. The state of the game, it's not bad. It's not terrible. But some of the optics, like the optics, the Draymond Green thing is a very bad, it's a very bad look. Again, as much as people criticize Draymond Green and his stat line at the end of the game, like, I don't believe
I
the prep from Brandon. Brandon Reed, the Golden State Warriors have never won a championship without Draymond Green.
I kind of like it, but he did. And I'm against – it's weird that I'm on that side of it, but I kind of liked it. The problem I have is his wife, who goes on Twitter then afterwards and is trying to say, all these fans are attacking my husband. Did you not see the camera that was zoomed in on your husband? did you not see that?
They was attacking him. Yeah, that's crazy, man.
But
again, the NBA has, like, you have to tiptoe this, Brandon, because like you said with the Westbrook situation, Westbrook is y'all jacking back and forth. Like, dude, focus on the game. This is probably the reason why he ain't got to focus on the game and don't focus on what some fans say. And if the fan is out of pocket by saying something too colorful, then the ushers will take care of that. It ain't Westbrook's job or Draymond, different set of circumstances. It ain't your job to, fight that battle.
Uh-huh. Just letting you know now, I still got the Warriors winning this series. They ain't going down without a fight. Literally.
They'll win the next game. They'll win tonight. I don't know, Brandon. They have to.
Tomorrow night. I thought it was tonight, too, but it's tomorrow night now.
They have a bad matchup at the guard spot. And some of their young guys have not stepped. They haven't. Kuminga and Moody have not taken the proper steps up. And Malik Monk and Fox have got everybody on skates right now.
Do you think it has a little to do with Mike Brown? He used to be an assistant there with Golden State. He kind of knows their stuff. I mean, he was just named voted coach of the year.
Brandon, I was super critical last year when the Sabonis trade went down, saying what? The Pacers should have got more, right? I wanted the kid from Baylor, the Mitchell kid. Great, again, you can't put cry over spilled milk, but they have a great – they finally have a good guard rotation. They got a big that you have to honor. So, right, and then Mike Brown is well-traveled, and he knows basketball. And he knows that team. He knows how to beat the Golden State Warriors.
You know what Davion Mitchell's nickname is?
What's his nickname?
Off Day. Because anybody that he guards, they shoot. They always say in the press conferences or whatever, I just had an off day shooting.
I had an off day. Man, we remember him from Baylor and that magical run that Baylor team had and the great slot selections that he had during that run and the defense that he had during that run. I'm like, dude, man, I'm not saying the Pacers got sold a bill of good when we got traded for Halliburton. I just felt that the Pacers need to get more, man. Again, they got a great core and they're well coached, man. And like you said, you're right. The Golden State Warriors are in for a fight. If it gets kooky around Game 4, Game 5, and the Warriors find themselves down 3-1, Brandon, they're going to lose this series.
Where is Wiggins at for this? Where's Iguodala for this? Like, where are these? They got to have their X factor step up. That they have it. I mean, you had a wide open in game one. I thought they were going to win it. Mm-hmm. Wide open game one, and Wiggins missed the corner three. You can chalk it up to not inexperience, well, but, not being in there lately. But
right.
Steph and them can only do so much. Who's that big? Is Moody or not Moody? Moody. Moses Moody or Kevon Looney. Those big – the Moody and Looney boys, they need to step up. I think they're fine. I'm just saying now. I think they're in good shape. Down 0-2, it's fine. I still think hell they may come back and win four straight. Just be pissed off. That might be something to
stop it.
You know,
stop
they
it.
Could. They could. I'm not counting out them out. I know you are.
No, the Kings. This ain't your grandpa's Kings. This is. But you know they had a long drought. 16 years,
right,
is a long time. You know what I mean? And this is not the who was the worst. What was the worst King team that you can remember off the top of your head? Not knowing the ones with Mike Bibby. Maybe
no,
towards the
no.
end, but like, no, man, this team is solid, man. Maybe go 7, Brandon. We'll see.
What's okay, that's interesting. I just saw a note about Zach Edey. Currently, he's making just south of $1 million from NIL. So maybe
okay.
He'll stay. We'll stay. We'll talk about that more. I just saw that come across on Twitter. The Clippers and Suns. John, what did I tell you? Was it last show? Last week's show? What did I tell you?
You said, dude.
Kevin Durant's not going to win another NBA championship. He's not. Sorry, Phoenix. You may win one when he's gone, but I haven't seen anything that shows that this guy is going to win another NBA championship. He had an all right game last night, but he's
right.
just – It's just –
It took Devin Booker to bitch him to bail him out for the most part.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just – I don't know if I'm more – I'm not more unimpressed of what he's doing. I think I'm just more impressed by Russ Westbrook going out first game one, shooting 3 of 18,
mm-hmm.
and having a defensive game like crazy. And that's what they're getting what they need out of Russ. Russ is scoring. He's playing defense. He's doing what
right.
they need to do as a Robin to Kawhi, because playoff P won't be there till the second round, possibly. Clippers, mm-hmm. I like the Clippers. I will tell you, I like the Clippers' depth. Better than I like the Suns' depth.
Can they get another special game? I think they can at least get another special game out of Devin Booker. In order to put the Clippers to bed, they're going to have to get a special game out of Kevin Durant as well. CP3 played better in the second half. It looked real old, man. He really looked like the president of the players' organization instead of saying hire me, telling him I think he's 13-time All Star. Last night, but he came in clutch. Again, Ayton, what do you have, 16 and 10 or 18 and 10 last night? I don't have the numbers in front of me, Brandon, but even he had a decent game. They just had to wake up, but you got to wake up. Like, y'all, you know, saying that, how's that a championship team? You got to wake up, and you're playing the Clippers. Like, the Clippers have put you to sleep. The Clippers, I know we're talking about in the next segment, like the Lakers. Even if the Lakers do get past Memphis, correct me if I'm wrong, won't they play the winners of the Clippers and Phoenix?
Yeah.
The Lakers ain't really they won't win against Memphis, but the Lakers haven't beat the Clippers in how many times? You know what I mean? So, Brandon, I like the Clippers going. It all kind of does depend on hell. Who knows if Kawhi Leonard's knees are tightened up or whatever, man. That could happen as well. You know what I mean? But I like the Clippers in this. I did not like what I saw. I get it. Man. They showed face because Coach got on them. You know what I'm saying? How much you can get on? You know what I'm saying? On a 30 plus something team, but this team wasn't put together just to make it past. You know what I'm saying, the first round. This team was put together. They traded all those assets to Brooklyn to get to the championship.
Uh-huh.
Right? And, I don't like it because it's a real short sample. But, this is what y'all said y'all can do. Y'all can put together teams in microseconds and go on these magical, mystical runs. And, I don't trust it, man. It didn't consistently look good from game one to game two. And I don't think – but now they're going back. You know what I'm saying? They split, but it just didn't look good to me personally from game one to game two.
Yeah. I will double down that Kevin Durant is not going to win another NBA title in his career. So
wow.
It's not, John. He doesn't – he's digressed, I feel. Fair?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, that's fair. This ain't the MVP guy. You know,
where was it? You texted me last night. Where's he going? Where's he going next? He didn't go with who?
LeBron and Bronny ain't taking him into Laker, man.
I heard he called Prince Durant. Is what I heard. Maybe a little Prince.
Prince Durant. Oh wow.
In the power of greatness. I mean, around the king. So yeah, I do like the way Russ has played. He's almost like a resurgence he's had in Los Angeles. By the way, I saw some Russ clips. I was watching a YouTube video of the top crowd moments during the NBA playoffs in the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dude, Russ had some liftoff back in the day. My God, I was watching the Thunder series against the Warriors back when Durant was on the Thunder and all that. My God, Russ had some hellacious dunks back then that were just crazy. So,
he was probably second most athletic point guard next to Derrick Rose.
By the way, Warriors have came out and said in their statement tonight that if you are a Kings fan and you come to the game, leave your cowbells outside the stadium because they will not be allowed
in.
That's fair, man.
Did you like the
video of the fan that was shaking that cowbell right behind Bob Myers' head?
That dude, I'm like, Bob Myers is not giving you the time of day, man. That man is a mega millionaire. He is not he hears you, but he's not thinking about you.
Oh, I loved it.
He left you in your punt.
Well, there were some fan fights, I'm sure.
And then the whole E-40 situation.
Yeah, E-40 and who else? There was another
We gotta get famous people. E-40's too famous for that, man. You can't have E-40 around regular people, man. You know what I'm saying? Like Ja Morant's dad, like you gotta go up to the sky booth, man. I get it that you wanna be on the floor, but like people know who he is and like they were just, going back and forth, and then security came over, assessed the situation, and that's when it got messy.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, let's bring Decot. We got you, but we have a time limit because we got a special guest.
I know, fellas.
That's all good. Decot wants to talk about them Pacers, I hope.
Hey, that's it, man. That's only it today. That's it. Listen, very disappointed in the win versus the Knicks.
Don't be like
last
that,
game
Decot.
Of the season.
Don't be like that, man.
That went from 42% to 34% top four pick. That's not good. It's great that we got the coin toss, but I'm gonna tell you, man. And I know JB, we were going back and forth on social media about what the needs were. But I'm gonna tell you, man. Like I told you guys, the beginning of last season about the Pacers, and we are dogging out Turner. We look like the Washington Generals playing the Harlem Globetrotters when he's not there, because there's nothing in the middle. There's no resistance. If we don't create some type of resistance, that's perimeter resistance, and I understand that we've got Isaiah. It's funny because Isaiah and Jalen, if we could combine them as one player, they would be amazing. Jalen shoots threes. Isaiah is a leapfrog. They would be a perfect one player, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's disappointing, but.
Well, at least you own up to the fact that, the Pacers got to address another big. I know what you want, a silky smooth small forward that got a nose for the basketball, rebound or defense, man. That's good. I don't think necessarily that's Brandon Miller from
man.
Like, I don't. I think he's going to be a good scorer, and that's what he's going to be.
But listen, you didn't see him play this year then, because that dude locks up guys on the wing, man. He's got I don't know what his measurements are.
He's only 19 years old. He's only 19. I want to throw that caveat at you. He's only 19 years old. We kind of the Pacers are kind of on a timetable, are they not? With Halliburton
I don't think so because Halliburton he's going to be our cornerstone guy. They made it public.
But he's already like 24. He's already 24. Yeah. Miles is like 26.
But listen, we got time. Right?
Because we ain't got time for no 19-year-old babysitting, man.
Listen. You can't. You're not going to get a veteran at pick six, right? You might get a senior. That's fine. But what I'm saying to you is, if you're not stopping people on the wings or slowing them down, it's going to be the same thing. We've got to be able to get another guy that can make a difference.
Well,
Buddy Hield's not that guy.
I'll let Brandon take over, man, because he's going to tell you about what Kevin Pritchard got up his left hand.
Listen. Buddy Hield's not that guy. You remember, we had the conversation.
I bet you they make a play for somebody that we're not even thinking about.
They're going to have to. But guess what? We've got pick 25, 29, 31, 55, Buddy Hield, and we got some young players that are good that we can play with that. We don't want to play with that top six pick. We don't want to play with that.
Here's the thing. They at one point wanted to do a deal for OG Anunoby. It'd been an overcorrection because at one point they could have drafted OG Anunoby, right? But here's what I would say, D-Kai. I know your eyes light up when you say OG Anunoby, but here's what I say about that. He's often injured. And do you want to parlay all those picks and including that
a
top seven?
No, because I don't want a tall Malcolm Brogdon. I don't want a tall Malcolm Brogdon. No, thank you. But what I'm saying
Malcolm Brogdon,
to you is,
hey, man, he found his way home finally in Boston. Yeah.
All of a sudden, you get healthy on a good team, right? I'm not buying it. So with that said,
that's crazy, buddy. He got healthy.
Brandon, I got to hear from you, man. We haven't talked in a while, man. I know it's been a tough last month of stretch of the month, man. But what are you thinking, man? Talk to me about what you and Pritchard talked about.
Well, as I told John, I think we make our first pick with the seventh pick, or as if though, knowing Pacers' luck, it'll somehow drop to eight, you watch. But I think we make that pick, and then the rest of the picks are trade options for the future.
Yeah.
Not for the future, but for a veteran guy that we can get in there. I don't know who. If you still try to make a ploy to Toronto for Anunoby, possibly – But as Pritchard said, we ain't keeping all five of these. We're not drafting five young guys.
No, not at all. And you know, Toronto's in a little bit of upheaval right now. Because did you see look like Nick Nurse may be gone? Some of the guys got options to come back or not. And I think that matters who the coach is, and also what happens with regard to players. So I don't know who's tight with whom, but that's going to make a difference also. I don't think he's long for Toronto regardless. I just don't think he is. Those guys, when I look at Toronto, it looks like everybody's trying to make a point. Everybody's trying to say, I'm the guy. And you can't have that. It reminds me of the Pacers when we had Lance, we had the kid Evans from Philadelphia that year. Remember
Evan Turner.
When Evan Turner, when he did to Paul to Roy's woman and all that. This seems like that type of team, right? So we've got to ensure that we look at an opportunity to pluck when we can. So if they're not happy, the price might not be as high if everybody was happy. So I think Toronto is your partner. They got a lot of wings. They got a lot of athletic guys. I think you go to Toronto for your love, man. That's just
Let me tell
thought.
You this. I would still – And I told Jonathan this. I would still try to make another trade with Brooklyn. If I can somehow get Mikal Bridges back out of there and say, hey, come to Indiana. We're going to have a little bit more going than what Brooklyn has. Only reason Brooklyn's in the playoffs is because of what they did.
Right, that would be on the timeline for sure.
Get me Mikal. We'll give you three draft picks.
I'm not going to. Hey, pie in the sky, it'll never happen. Jaylen Brown. But that takes
You saw my message last night. Jaylen Brown deserves better.
He's being cast as an also-ran And that dude, he is right there with Agent Zero.
The media, man,
he's right there.
That's the media, man.
You talking about A1 and A2.
If they lose,
you're not talking about Batman and Robin.
If Boston loses him, they will be hurting. They'll be in a hurt locker.
And I don't know how healthy he is right now, that hand. But, Jalen Tatum was hogging the ball last night. It's like, Jalen.
He's leading a lot of his press clippings, man. A lot of press clipping talk, right? So with that said, my ticker guy reached out to me.
It went through his head. I know, it went through his head. I see it. It didn't went through his head, man.
Check it out. So May 16th is the lottery party. It's downtown. It's downtown at the place like of course you know that, man. That's what I'm telling you all. It's May 16th.
May 16th.
I think that's on a Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm gonna reach out to Dennis tomorrow. I'm gonna have you guys in my AN1 and my AN2. So for sure,
that's
I want you guys being there. It's downtown. I guess the place is like the golf place, right? It's down. I've never heard of it.
Oh yeah.
It's a really cool place.
Back
that's
nine.
Where the draft party is going. Yeah, that's where the draft party is going to be. They haven't determined the draft, but that's where the lottery party is going to be. They haven't determined the draft party yet. So I'm gonna have four names. It'll be you two guys with me. Now, of course, it'll be my tornado with me. That's my right hand. So it'll be us four. I'll definitely get your names on there for sure. May 16th. Keep that in mind. And probably within the next week, we'll find out where the draft party is going to be. Same thing for you guys.
Sounds good.
For sure.
Sounds right. good, D-Cop.
Hey, I
appreciate
it. I know you guys got Ball State coach on and everything. Hey, I'm going to continue to listen on my phone. Appreciate you guys. Johnson, hey, keep praying for you, man. Miracles happen, man.
All right.
Miracles happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you,
all right, man.
Appreciate it.
You guys be safe, man.
Thanks, D-Cop. All right. D-Cop brought it today, John. A lot of Pacers talk.
I know what he wanted to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, listen. Another night that we have plenty of time, I got to get his Draymond take. I know he's but his whole Draymond thing is one thing. I got to listen
he's
to at some point.
He's pro-Draymond, yeah.
Oh, I mean, of course. I'm not usually pro-Draymond, but, I mean, I loved the antics the other night. It was good optics to watch as an entertainment.
Not asking who Draymond. That's like WWE Draymond. Ready to jump off the third rope. Like,
it
dude,
was, but I was
down,
3 minutes away from passing out, and then I saw that, and it woke
and
me back up.
He's like, what the heck?
My eyes were closing, and I heard it, and I saw it, and I said, oh, my goodness, what is going on? So,
Brandon Reed, my man is rolling over in his grave, the commissioner.
David Stern?
NBA.
No, he's still alive somewhere, man, all that money he's got from all these TV deals.
You said they got clothing?
Yeah. Speaking of living the good life, John, we got the time for our special guest. Well, yeah, our special guest. We'll call him friend of the program. We've had him on before with it. John, do you realize he's been Ball State's head coach? And I'm not trying to make you feel old, coach. Ball State's coach for a quarter of a century? Mike Fleck, Ball State golf coach.
Like
I don't want to make you feel old.
How you guys doing, man?
Good. Yourself?
Right. I'm good, except for that lead-in. Yeah, quarter of a century is a long time, dude. That's
eight.
Yeah.
You still look young, so, I mean, you're doing something right.
Well, if I wear a hat, I look young. If I don't wear a hat, I look like I've been here for a quarter of a century. But, man, it's it's been fun, and it's great catching up with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach, I want to get your thoughts. What was before we dive into the Ball State squad this year? Thoughts on the Masters that was just a couple weeks ago. A lot of different playing conditions. As a golfer, as a professional, even the mindset of trying to get out there Thursday where it's real nice conditions to set yourself up for who knows cold, wind, rain, all that over the weekend. What was your thoughts of the Masters?
I was like, hey, they are playing college golf in the Midwest at Augusta, is what I was thinking in the spring. I mean, it was it made for some really good theater. You know, the one thing that I just take away from it that, you know, just was really hard for me to accept and watch was Tiger, you know. Just hard to watch, you know, Superman kind of mm-hmm. finish that way. And obviously surgery, I think that rumors was he had ankle surgery. But it was interesting to watch the dynamics of just the entire event. You know, the weather, the LIV guys on the leaderboard, you know, Tiger's kind of, you know, fighting through what he's fighting through. But it was it brought good entertainment, that's for sure.
What's your thoughts on the I thought it was comical to watch with Koepka and John Rahm on the Sunday morning and such, but what's your thoughts on the pace of play? Because obviously Patrick Cantlay is a golfer that takes us so much time, and I about squeezed out my eyeballs the other night watching him at the RBC Heritage one. But what's your thoughts on the pace of play? Is it something to really worry about, or is it just something that, you know, the media people are just kind of trying to bring up? But I mean, there has to be a good pace, because when I'm even out there, I like to keep a good flow, good rhythm.
You know what? It drives me crazy. And until the PGA Tour and the folks at the higher levels start assessing some penalties or really kind of enforcing a pace of play policy, it's trickling down. I mean, college golf is slow. Junior golf is becoming a little bit slower. I mean, they've got to – I don't know what it is, but they got to figure something out. And if it's, you know, assessing penalties or fines or whatever, you know – I mean, 4 hours, 4.5 hours is around the golf, and it doesn't matter whether you're playing Sunday at the Masters or, you know, you and I are teeing it up in a fun round, you know, at a local municipal golf course. It's, you know, pace of play is an issue right now, and it's trickling down to other levels, and it's hard to watch.
The USGA and the RNA are considering rolling the golf ball back. John, basically it means they're going to try to knock out some of the technology that's been there to kind of make the golf courses a little bit, the distance obviously right now is not a problem for these pro golfers. So they're going to try to roll the golf ball back. So coach, what's your thoughts on that? Is it really changes that are definitely going to be needed with those two? Because honestly, as a fan watching it, I don't think they need to. If it's to me, it's exciting to watch them drive the ball 300 and some yards down there. And if they can get on into great. They're trying to make it more appealing to like us, like, hey, this is like me out there. I don't care about that. These are pros. I want to see them hit the ball as far as they can.
Brandon, I agree with you 100%. I think what is happening is that these tour level players are playing golf courses that are so immaculate these days. I mean, the greens are perfect. You know, the bunkers are perfect. You know, they get some thick rough in some of these majors, but even for the most part, you know, these tour events, like, they're playing absolutely pristine golf courses. You and I aren't doing that when we're playing. You know, you're hitting it into a bunker and you may hit it into a footprint or, you know, greens that have been, you know, walked on by 100 players previously. It's I don't know exactly what the answer is. I don't think rolling the golf ball back is the answer. These guys, that's part of the fun. Like you said, the enjoyment of seeing these guys bomb it. Hey, you still have to figure out how to get the ball in the hole. You still have to be good with your wedges. You still have to be good with the putter. I just think that the conditions that these guys are playing, the golf courses I'm talking about, not the wind and the stuff that's going on above the ground, but they are playing immaculate golf courses these days. And, you know, I think that's factoring in. You know, when those guys played – long time ago, Jack Nicklaus, those guys were playing on beat up greens. The bunkers weren't very good. The fairways weren't mowed with the precision and the quality of the equipment that they're being mown today. I mean, it's, you know, technology's just kind of advanced it all the way around. Golf ball, equipment, how turf maintenance is done, you know, and it's kind of adding up to, you know, lower and lower scores, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So, coach, moving on to your Ball State squad, about a couple weeks ago, you guys had a big win at Butler in the Butler Invitational. I think you guys had your lowest team score in history. Is that what I saw at that one?
We did. We Yeah, we did. We broke some records. We broke some team scoring records. We had Carter Smith, my freshman, break the individual 54-hole scoring record. So that was, those guys were firing on all cylinders that weekend, and it was kind of fun to watch them play.
Yeah, and then you guys went down to Mason Rudolph Invitational down to Vanderbilt and play, which I had to look it up to make sure that's not – because I'm a Steeler fan. I know you're a Bengals guy. But when I saw the Mason Rudolph, I was like, wait a minute, this can't be my quarterback guy. There's no way.
No,
so,
I think they were paying respects to a longtime, former golf coach down that way. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I saw that, I was like, oh my goodness. You mentioned when it's kind of like you mentioned last week in after your Boilermaker Invitational that similar to Vanderbilt, the last 2 weeks you guys have kind of had a slow start with your top guys. How do you and you guys have bounced back from that? But how do you in prepping for the next tournament you guys have up in Illinois, how do you prep to make sure that doesn't happen? To get yourself, make sure the guys are prepared and ready to roll.
I probably honestly have to come up with a little bit better pregame speech, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's, golf is funny like that. In the fall, we got off to some really good starts, and then we kind of, struggled to close some rounds out and most recently here this spring, we've gotten off to a couple of not-so-good starts and really played some excellent high-level golf, after that first round. So I think it's just getting the guys understanding that those shots, regardless of whether it's the first three or four or five, six holes of the tournament or the last, five, six, seven, eight holes, whatever it is, value the importance of each and every shot. And, like you said, we've kind of given some shots away in those first rounds, and we need to clean that up a little bit, and I know our guys are fully capable of doing it. I've seen them play well, honestly, it's not a concern of mine right now, but I do want to see us get off to a better start at Illinois and carry that over into the MAC Championship, the following week as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to that. We got you guys at the Fighting Illini Classic next weekend over in Illinois, and then the MAC Championship April 30th, which – I looked at this, Coach. It's hosted by Ohio University. Why is it in Alabama?
You know what? Everybody thought that was a typo because it's actually in Athens, Alabama, and Ohio is in Athens, Ohio. I think we collectively kind of came together as a group and as a conference, and we've played in so many championships on some great golf courses in the Midwest, but the weather has been – really, really bad, and it takes away from the student-athlete experience, takes away from the competition element of the championship. So, yeah, for the first time in ever, I think, we're going outside of the Mid-American footprint and trying something a little bit different and seeing what the experience provides. So we're all looking forward to going down the cane break in Athens, Alabama, and, hopefully having some good weather and having a great competition and seeing what kind of experience that provides for the teams and the coaches and the student athletes.
Yeah, I had to look that up because I had to go to three different sources because I was like, wait a minute, I had to make sure that's not a typo. It's funny with them being in Athens, Ohio. So I was like, maybe I guess they are playing down there. I looked up the course, and sure enough,
I got the same thing when we put our schedule out. Like, surely you all made a typo there, and I'm like, no, we're going to Alabama this year.
I'm going to petition to the MAC, the Mid-American Conference, that the MAC Golfer of the Week award just stays in Muncie for all time, because your guys' team has been racking it up with like we said, Carter Smith and Cash Ballard, both winning recently Golfers of the Week. Kind of talk about your team and I guess your guys kind of the outstanding performance they have. And the fact, I mean, Carter being a freshman, is this kind of what you expected out of him coming into this year, or has he kind of exceeded expectations from kind of where he's at?
Yeah, no. So yeah, I mean, he's probably one of the highest ranked kids relative to the junior golf scoreboard that we've been able to recruit and attract here at Ball State. So I'm not surprised. I mean, the kid works his tail off. I know he went through some growing pains in the fall trying to figure out college and college golf and getting his eyes opened and seeing the distance that we're playing from and the level of competition. But, to his credit, he went to work during this off season and really has been a difference maker for us this spring. You mentioned Cash Beller. He's a sophomore, state high school champion. He's a kid that has some unbelievable tools in his toolbox. I mean, he can hit a ball out there a pretty long ways. He can do some special things with it. He's a really good player. We've got a fifth-year senior, Joey Ranieri, from Zionsville that decided to come back, one of those COVID eligibility cases. And, you know, he's really, over the course of his career here, been one of the better players that we've ever had, you know, statistically from a scoring perspective. And, you know, I think it just kind of goes to show you the depth that we have in that top five with those three guys and some of the recognition that they've been able to garner this spring. And then we've got two other redshirt sophomores, Griffin Hare from Tipton and a kid named Ollie Kahn from over in Columbus, Ohio. And, you know, I kind of look at it, and we only have one senior, and we've got this freshman and group of sophomores. And you know, I'm really excited about the talent that's here and what they're doing and the production that they're giving us now. And looking towards the future, I think we've got a pretty bright future too. So I'm excited about it all.
Nice. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Coach, welcome to the show. Coach, is there we've had you on our show at least two seasons. How has the – and I feel like it's a different synergy going on with the program. How has the student experience changed, would you say, has it, changed in, like, the last 5 years?
Yeah, no. Chirp, by the way, Jonathan.
Absolutely.
It's, I don't know. You know, we all went through this weird deal called COVID, right? You know, we're kind of on the back end of it, and kids are settling back in, and we're kind of working through the whole extended eligibility. I mean, we're getting some good players in here. I know, you know, the one thing that has helped us directly is the Earl Yestingsmeyer Golf Center. You know, our state-of-the-art on-campus indoor practice facility. I mean, kids have coming in. They've been coming in for a few years now, checking that out on visits. Parents have seen it. You know, prospects are kind of, you know, learning about it, and it's helping us attract a little bit better player. You know, we're in the game with some really good players. You know, we've got this Alex Caesar kid from Westfield that's one of the top-ranked players in the class that's finishing his senior year that's going to be coming on campus next year. We've got a transfer out of Nichols, actually Braxton Kuntz, who's from Manitoba, Canada, that's going to spend 2 years with us. I think it's, you know, just kind of putting everything together a little bit and piecing it together and getting some talent in here and letting them compete, you know, that's elevating things a little bit. And the golf building and the campus is beautiful, and our schedule is
absolutely
super attractive. I think we played, between seven and nine of the top 20 schools in the country this year, going to Vanderbilt, you know, going down to Puerto Rico, playing against Auburn and Virginia. And we're going to see, you know, Illinois, they're ranked third in the country at this upcoming event. I think that all just adds together and really puts us in a good spot when it comes to recruiting and bringing in some talent.
Brandon, you see how he just glazily said Puerto Rico?
Yeah. I mean, this guy, he's got it made, I'm telling you. He's got the firest gear I see on Twitter every year, whether it be the shirts, the golf bags, you name it. This team is set with that. It's look good, feel good, and play good. That's the three mottos right there.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's one of my mantras, man. You got to look good, you got to feel good, and you got to back it up, and you got to play good. These kids are in a, you know, and generally, I mean, our guys are in a much better place than where, you know, our program was when I played, and even 10 years ago. I mean, the gear is sweet, the travel is good, the tournaments are elite. You know, they just have to go out and hey, all they have to do is go get good grades in the classroom and go play good golf, and everything else falls into place. And yeah, Jonathan, you know, Puerto Rico is a highlight. We've been there a couple times. We're going to go back next year, and you know, again, it's another attraction. It's a selling point with our tournament schedule. You know, it's a lot better going to Puerto Rico than you know, traveling to some of these Midwest locations in March and April when you know the weather's, you know, you know what you're going to get, right? So
changing, ever changing. Absolutely. All right. Brandon?
Yeah, Coach, you guys recently just had and as a Ball State alum, we see it, and all the one Ball State day. Talk a little bit about that. And it looks like you guys, I think I saw a number from Jonathan. You guys, what, finished, was it fifth on the athletics leaderboard or so? Or third on the athletics leaderboard.
We had an excellent day on one Ball State day, and I think it's I attribute and credit it all to Coach Yestingsmeyer and the program and the family and the gratitude culture that he built. You know, our alums are unbelievable in giving back and supporting our program and understanding that they are a key element in the success that we have, supporting the program. I'm fortunate. I've been here 25 years. We kind of made fun of it at the beginning, but, you know, I've got 25 years worth of alums that are of the same mindset and you know, show gratitude and support and are generous. And it allows our program to experience some success, you know, like on one Ball State day. But more importantly, it allows us to be able to continue to offer a top elite D1 level experience to our student athletes. And I couldn't be more appreciative of everybody that supports Ball State athletics and especially the folks that, step up and show their support of our men's golf program.
Very nice. Very cool. Congratulations for that. It's always great to see giving back. And speaking of, I just went back about a month ago, was able to go back to Ball State. The campus has just completely grown. The village is completely different now. And it's just great to see the booming environment that Ball State has put on. And I did drive by the facility. It looked sharp. I told John, I know we said this last time you have on, we've got to get up there. We've got to get up there and check it out.
I know you've been here a few times, and I think we tried to connect, but absolutely. Like, you guys got to get over here and see this place and get in here and make some swings. I know you guys are golfers, and you got to come experience it and let us show it off to you guys. And I don't know, maybe we turn you into a little bit better golfer too.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Coach, we have to start keeping handicaps for our golf trip that we do every year. This year we're going out to West Virginia to Greenbrier area to play, and we have to keep our handicap. So I've had to start keeping it. Hey, I've got it down to a 13, so I'm kind of happy with the 13. So,
I follow you guys. You're a golf nut. I know you're eating it up. Greenbrier is an unbelievable place. I mean, it's a PGA Tour stop. I mean, you guys are going to have a blast, it's awesome following you guys and seeing what you're doing and the attraction to the game of golf. It's good stuff.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. John, you got anything else for Coach?
No, man, I know we have a lot of golf enthusiasts that listen. Our good buddy Reggie is helping prayer, Coach Clay. Brandon is trying to help him. I'll try to help him. I'm not a great golfer by any realm of imagination. I told him he got to work on his alignment. That's what I told him. He got to work on his alignment.
The thing I was told was anybody can drive it. It's from 100 yards in is where you hone it down.
No question. And going to your guy, Reggie, I mean, you know, my biggest thing is just get comfortable, you know. Get over the ball, feel comfortable. Don't have tension, you know, because if you grip it tight, you start getting tension up through your arms. You know, you want to hit the perfect shot. Relieve some of the tension a little bit and just make a free athletic swing. But alignment, posture, grip, stance, your setup, those are kind of some of the fundamental things. But, you know, I would say Reggie's probably trying to hit the ball too hard and too far, and he's gripping it too hard. And, you know, have him relax a little bit and make a carefree swing, and you'll be amazed at, what happens when that ball hits that club face and it feels like dynamite.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. I played yesterday over at Pebble Brook here in Westfield, and loved that course and had a nice, good time, walked the 18, music was playing. Had a few drinks with some buddies playing, and, hey, end up shooting 84, got a couple birdies on the day, so I'll call it a victory for that.
I tell you what, there's no better feeling than walking off a golf course on a beautiful day, hitting some good shots, having a few pops, and just enjoying the experience. It's you know, I don't know how you compare it to much else. So yeah, it's you know, I've been around the game my entire life, and my office views are pretty sweet.
Awesome. Well, Coach, I want to thank you again for joining us. As always, good luck to your Bengals this year again. Just take it easy on my Steelers, all right?
Well, I'm going through the agony right now following these Reds. I mean, it's you guys know I'm a big Reds and Bengals fan, and you know,
Reds are spending money now.
We have scored a run in 3 days.
They did. They signed Hunter Green. I think that was an excellent roll of the dice. Now, you know, Graham Ashcraft, Lodolo, I like India, Stevenson. I think there's a core group there. But, Jonathan, you're right. I think that move that they just made is maybe Castellini is like, hey, we're going to commit to a core group. Yeah. You know, we've got Hunter Green now for 6 years, and I think it's an excellent roll of the dice. I really do. So
we just got to score.
I follow him every day. So we've been putting up some crooked numbers against Tampa Bay, though. My goodness, it's been it's been hard to watch the last few
I watched
days.
It today, and I was rough to watch while I was working. Seeing that today, but I don't know. I told John I think David Bell's leash might be a little bit short this year.
I think you might be right. You know, I'm a coach. You know, I don't want to. You know, I know how it is, and I know how judgmental it is. But you know, there were a handful of games there, you know, early in the season that I think we maybe just mismanaged a little bit. I mean, we got to get a bullpen. But yeah, I'm excited about the Bengals. I tell you what. I'm intrigued right now to see what these Colts are going to do and how they're going to maneuver through this draft. It's pretty interesting. I mean, you know, all my guys on the golf team are pretty much Colts fans, and, you know, I follow them too. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. What do you guys think they're going to do?
I think it's going to be Anthony Richardson now.
Oh. I mean, you think they're going to trade up, or they're just going to sit there and take the next best guy?
Yeah, I think they can sit there at four.
Yeah. I think you sit at four. If he falls to you, he falls to
you. You never know. Yeah, go ahead, Brandon.
No, I'm just saying if he falls to you, he falls to you. If he doesn't, I told Jonathan a couple weeks ago, I like next year's draft class a little bit better. Why not just run it with Gardner Minshew, tell the fan base, hey, we're going to get there, we're going to get there, and you get your quarterback next.
You know what I like, and I'm living it right now with the Bengals with Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. But man, what's working right now in the NFL is go get C.J. Stroud and go get Marvin Harrison Jr. next year, and let those guys team up and roll it out and see what happens.
And roll it out, see what happens. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you know, there's chemistry there, right? Those guys. I mean, we see it with Chase and Burrow. You see it with you know, the What's the guy that played at Clemson, and they've got NTN down there. I mean, it's working, right? I don't know.
I think it's just this fan base wants a quick turnaround here in Indianapolis.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that's necessarily the reality of it, but I think that's what the fan base wants. So that might kind of what they kind of want to perceive. Who's to say though? Who might want to move up to four, and then they give you a little prince's ransom, not a king's ransom, a prince's ransom for pick four, because potentially whoever you think can fall to you, maybe the kid from Kentucky, who's some flashes of potential. I did watch. He tore, unfortunately. He beat some MAC teams, unfortunately, on his way in his junior campaign. But there's definitely some talent there. There's definitely some talent with Anthony Richardson. It's just that Anthony Richardson looks more like there's going to be a project because it looked like it was a project for Florida. You know what I mean? So, but who's to say, everybody scouting is kind of pretty much universal. So here's what I will say. The NBA usually overreaches in talent. The NFL usually does not. And I know somebody's going to call me that. Well, so-and-so was number one quarterback. Quarterback is different. I'm talking – so I know, and we're talking quarterbacks. But 10 years ago, that would be different. I think we're a little bit smarter right now on quarter. I don't think there's necessarily an overreach on quarterback. And I know everybody said, well, Zach Wilson, that still remains to be seen in the Jets uniform. But as far as the draft is concerned,
yeah.
who's to say you can't get a Will Levis, an Anthony Richardson, like further down the line?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, you guys all know, you've been around and you follow sports, and at a high level. All three or four of those quarterbacks aren't going to hit in the NFL. I mean,
right.
One or two of them probably, but not all four.
Right.
So, you know, you got to figure out which one or two are going to be your Joe Burrow or your, it's hard.
Yeah.
But the coach got to take a swing. The coach need to take a big swing because they've missed so, you know what I'm saying, much over the last couple of seasons. So they need to take a big swing, even if it's a gamble, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Jonathan, you know why your fan base is wanting an instant turnaround, because they're too close to all these Cincinnati fans and these, you know, my God, I've been a Bengals fan my entire life, and finally, we've got some pieces that are, you know. I watched that Super Bowl 2 years ago with my daughter, and she was in tears. And I'm like, hey, this may not happen again in your lifetime, you know, because I know what it's been like for me. And we're fortunate right now being Cincinnati fans that, you know, I think we got some positive things going on. But, hey, who knows? It could all change.
Do you
tomorrow.
Think you can keep all three? I mean, they're in the 2025 free agents. Can you keep all three big ones, Mixon, Burrow, and Chase?
Well, you know, I was hearing rumors today that they're talking about Mixon, you know, not getting out of that contract and trying to renegotiate. I don't know how they do. I don't know. You got T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow, and Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon wanted to be a Bengal for life 4 or 5 years ago when we weren't anywhere near where we are now. I think you got to do what you can to keep Joe Mixon. He's a Cincinnati guy. He's a loyal Cincinnati guy. I think Joe Burrow needs a guy like Joe Mixon back there because, again, if they let the one guy go over out to Denver, you know, if they don't have Joe Mixon and P. Ryan, I mean, then they're rolling the dice and trying to figure out who to put back there.
I thought they should have kept P. Ryan. I don't know why they got rid of him. He was dominant. That was thunder and lightning in that backfield. It was perfect.
But it's just the economics of the NFL, right? Now we got to pay Joe Burrow, so it's going to cost us somewhere else. I hate it, but it is what it is. So,
yeah. Anyway, absolutely. Well, Coach, it was perfect. I will we'll reach out to you here once the season's over, and we'll plan a day to come up there, film some content, and check out the facility and such with you.
I want to see you guys. I want to get you hooked up with some Ball State golf swag and spend some time with you in the golf building and on campus.
Perfect. Sounds great, Coach. Thank you. Best of luck in your last two tournaments, and we'll keep watch. We'll be watching.
You got it. Hey, appreciate you guys.
Yep. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, that's Ball State golf coach Mike Fleck joining us, as always, friend of the program. John, we're going to get you up there. We're going to get you swinging some clubs.
Brandon, I ain't know how I man. I wasn't gonna interject, man, because I feel like you was trying to cut him short because he was talking pro Bengals, and you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, man.
No, not at all.
I kept him on 20 more minutes. Dude,
I liked his insight.
Man, you're right. Here's the thing. So, like, as far as that division is concerned, it's in the flux, is it not?
I feel better about my Steelers right now.
How can you not like the Pittsburgh Steelers to at least compete for the North Division next year?
Right? Compete. That's all I need to hear. Compete. Not win. Compete. I mean, Baltimore's a train wreck. I mean, they just got Odell Beckham, but, I mean, even with Lamar, who says he's going to be healthy? Cincinnati will be tough. And then Deshaun Watson in Cleveland, that's a fiasco. I mean.
They got to get their act together.
Something.
So I like Pittsburgh's chances, man. But yeah, man, great interview with Coach Fleck, man. He brought out the Cincinnati Reds on us, man.
It's been rough.
They just signed. But yeah, they gotta get some scoring.
John, they ain't scored a run in 3 days. Not one run. It's terrible. But yeah, we're gonna get up there
maybe
here.
Maybe happen with six days. Yeah, we gotta go. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, man. So get it together.
We'll get up there within the next month or so after their season's over. We'll go up there. You better make sure your calendar your schedule. We'll try to plan for like a Saturday or something to get up there.
Sure.
To go see him and stuff. So we'll put that on the books. We'll check it out. We'll get some content filmed. We'll get Jonathan in there swinging the club because I know everybody wants to see that on the Crossroads Sports page.
Perfect.
So we'll do that and more. We're gonna hit a quick ad read. We come back, we'll hit some other news and notes, take your calls and more. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Crossroads Sports would like to thank Wiseman Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic or commercial, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Call 877-744-6212 to set up your delivery. Thanks, Wiseman.
Also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born, especially on custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, Jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check us out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. All right, we are back. John, going back to the NBA, Giannis is out again tonight with the back injury. And it could be some serious stuff. Back's no joke for a big guy like Giannis. And Tyler Hero's out with a broken hand for the playoffs. But looking at Milwaukee, John, just how important is this, like with their run to the postseason, that Giannis stays healthy? Because right now it's not off to a good start after one game.
No, it's not. They got they run a lot of things through Giannis. He's there. This year in that particular role, finishing second in the all defensive player category. They have won games. They played, a competition in the time and other in the game.
John, your phone's cutting out, my man. You've been cutting out.
Hold on.
We'll see if we can get John back here in a second.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. So go back about 50 seconds from what you were saying and repeat it.
Man, we need to get a sponsor. Give me a new phone. That's what we need to do, man. I think Giannis. They've won games without Giannis, so it's just a different game plan they have to kind of come with. It'll be more Drew Holiday in the pick and roll. It'll be more Drew Holiday basically scoring. You know what I mean? It'll be more get Chris Middleton involved. They can play a version of what they play with, of a big, a dominant big with Brook Lopez because he is a legit 7-footer that he's an offensive threat. We know this, so they just have to break the level of intensity. Now, on the flip side, you're right. Tyler Hero, the one of their playmakers on the Miami Heat, is concerning. But like, has it really been as magic since the bubble? Tyler Hero, like the player, has it really been like he got paid and try to do the social media thing or whatever, but I'm talking about on the floor, he's been in and out, man. You know what I'm saying? It got good for a while, I thought, but it hasn't been good consistently, Tyler Hero. So unfortunately he's out. How can they win this game? They got to contain Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's good enough to win a game or two, if not a series. He led the Miami Heat
you know what I'm saying, just how many moons ago to the championship game. So, but that is concerning long term because we know Giannis to be an iron man. We know Giannis to be that guy that can withstand a high threat of pressure, you know what I'm saying, high pain threshold, right? And this is how, this is very concerning, man, because, like, Giannis is just like, boom, all right, man, I got a little sprained ankle. You know what I mean? He's out there. And, like, this kind of shows the mortality of the athlete. So I think Milwaukee bounces back, man, and does it. They won't get swept, but they find a way to tie the series up.
Okay. Lakers and Grizzlies, game two has already started. Memphis is out to an 11-point lead right now at the end of the first quarter. Ja Morant out tonight as well. What's your thoughts with how the Lakers, they got the big game one victory, and no Ja Morant, but Memphis is trying to tie it up, series 1-1.
Right. I mean, Memphis got enough, you know what I'm saying, your athletic bounce and youth to still beat the Lakers without Ja Morant. It's just with Ja Morant, they are a different team. This game can go from sugar to, you know what I'm saying, real quick.
Uh-huh.
If Jaren Jackson Jr. gets in foul trouble. Right now, I'm on Crossroads Sports, I'm watching the game. I'm assuming he's the primary, you know what I'm saying, what they kind of run pretty much everything through him offensively, I would assume. I mean, you know, as far as kick out the way, and definitely, you know, he's touching the ball, you know what I'm saying, at least 70% of the time when they go down to go on offense, right? And we know what he brings to all the level of defense, right? So, but in order, they have enough to beat the Lakers, you know, because, like, there's times when LeBron takes bad shots and it doesn't look so pretty, man. And is AD going to get bumped or are they going to feel good? All right, then we split and go back to L.A. And because Memphis is terrible on the road. Memphis is horrible. For a team to talk so much trash, you would think they was, like, 17-9 on the road. No, man, Memphis is horrible on the road.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? So – I think it's probably a game that Memphis can win just on, like, hey man, we gotta, you know what I'm saying, we gotta do it for Doc because he's out, you know, to win one for the Gipper. That type of, you know what I'm saying, feel to it, however that is, man, for them. But and then the Lakers kinda just go back and you know, and go up and on the home crowd, feeling good because they went and won a game.
Okay. We feel good about Philly. I don't think there's going to be any issues there for Philadelphia to close out that series. Boston as well. Boston's just a better team than Atlanta. And like I said, I feel bad for Jaylen Brown because he's got to deal with Jason Tatum, who a little bit of fool of himself. So, by the way, what's your thoughts on, and I know we talked about this during the NBA draft with Doncic and Trae Young, but there was a vote going around that Trae Young's the most overrated player in the NBA.
I saw that, man, and that's some serious shade because it's actually legit, man, because it was printed in The Athletic, I do believe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, man, that's some serious shade. So, like, is he really, Brandon? Is he the – but here's what I'm going to say, Brandon. I'll say overrated as far as, like, can he be the leader of a team? It seems like sometimes his game gets a little immature and gets to, like, throwing up bricks and, like, dude, it's not going in. You need to do something else. You need to pass or you need to try to get fouled. You know what I'm saying? Be a three-level scorer like you were when you came into the league. That's what that was special about him. He was a three-level scorer, could shoot it from three, shoot from mid-range, and get to the foul line. You know what I mean? But, like, it hasn't been, like, special. Like he got compared to, you know what I'm saying, he got compared to Steph Curry.
Uh-huh.
But Brandon, is he the only one? He's not.
No, not at all.
I feel like it's a little bullying to just put him on the list, man. Luka Doncic is on the list, too. He's on the list. You know what I'm saying? Football, you know what I mean? And I'll pick it on him because he got traded, but he ain't the only one. Kyrie Irving is on the list, too.
Mm-hmm.
Overrated. As far as superstars are concerned.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's a little – I mean, I'm not for it, but, like, I think Brandon, to put it on a butt on it, I nip on it, I think he probably – they probably find him a new town in a couple – in a trade deadline next year. He probably won't be playing for the Hawks.
New York Knicks, Cleveland Cavaliers, John, I feel like this is a series that's probably going to go seven games back and forth. Tied 1-1 right now. Knicks got the first one. Cavs got the second one. It seems to me like a seven-gamer.
Man, Julius Randle's health or ability to play on the floor concerns me long-term for the Knicks, man. I like the Cavs going forward. I don't know what the Cavs had to shake the cobwebs off game one. And in game two, they just kind of exploded, man. I like the Cavs. Not the general sweep, but it'll be a 4-2. It'll go six games.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. Switching gears, NHL playoffs. I love NHL playoffs, playoff hockey. It's been wild so far. The first season or the first series has been started. So game twos are tonight started out, but playoff hockey, nothing better. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. Can't wait to see it. We are in the postseason. So love seeing that. John, my Steelers got Allen Robinson in a trade. I know you messaged me. I saw later on it, but it depends. I said, what Allen Robinson are we getting? Are we getting the Rams Allen Robinson who couldn't catch a ball, couldn't stay healthy? Or are we getting the Chicago Bears possession receiver from back then? So it's interesting that we went and got him with our wide receiver corp already that we have. So, but hey, if you can add an extra weapon in there, why not, I guess?
I just think it's something building to the faith that Thomason has, Tomlin has in this group that he has right now. Again, I know this is life after Ben Roethlisberger. And, like, the Pittsburgh Steelers fans, they ain't ready for, like, hey, man, like, Colts fans. I mean, I know it's terrible. I'm going to get in trouble when I'm getting sent. Like, you got to get your quarterback in there and quit fumbling around. That's what Pittsburgh didn't – ain't that what Pittsburgh did, Brandon? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
They – Ben, last season, got a quarterback. However people said my man had little hands or whatever. They got him in there. They put a system around him. They've supported it. Allen Robinson, it wasn't necessarily great anyway, Brandon, but it hasn't necessarily been good. But he's a good possession receiver. He had pretty good defense stats last year. I think he averaged like 13 yards per catch or something like that. I could be wrong about that, man. But it was in the nice little, you know what I'm saying, what you would want a receiver to do, stat wise, to support a young quarterback, and that's what they're still in development of doing. At the same time, trying to get back to the playoffs,
right?
You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. I know when Reggie listens to this, our good buddy Reggie, he's gonna think like Brandon, when did Jonathan become so pro Pittsburgh? Those are the facts of the matter. Like that's what they did. Like they had a couple rough ones, you know what I'm saying, with the kids back, and they supported. They had the buffer, Trubisky. But, like, what the Colts is fumbling with this guy and that guy. Like, you just got to get a quarterback, man, and quit fumbling. You know what I mean?
Yep,
but
absolutely.
Like, no, man, crazy NFL offseason. Brandon, we also kind of talked about NIL, man.
I want to talk to you about next.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Painter was on JMV, friend of the program show yesterday, and had and I sent it to you after I listened to it because I haven't heard him that animated. And he had a lot of things to say, not only about the NIL deals, but the transfer portal and such, and how we're not setting up the athletes for success. And it's more about, well, hey, this is the money we have. Here you go there. It's not keeping it fair. What was your thoughts listening to that, John? Because I thought Painter had a lot of things that he was spot on about. Some people told me he was whiny. I don't think it came off that way personally, but
right.
I thought he was spot on.
I think in Matt Painter's dialogue is that he and in Gino Auriemma for the women's basketball coach with Connecticut, UConn, he said it ablaze. He said NIL and the transfer portal, man. He'll set all the rules ablaze because that's just how he's cut, right? But I think what Matt is trying to say, man, like this is the NCAA. This is not the NBA, because you know what, Brandon? I listened to Bloomington's head football coach. I don't know if he meant it as the ooh, but he called people free agents.
Uh-oh.
Coach down there said free agents, man. In the interview, he did a pressure for the media. You know what I mean, today, and he said free agents. I'm like, free agents? Wait a minute, dude. It's transfer. Like, hey, man, don't blur the lines. Don't blur the lines. Like, the kids got the money. That's not free agent. Like,
right.
I don't like that model. Me personally, Brandon, I don't like that model of trying to make college athletics mirror the NBA. It has to be different. So, I'm on the side of, it's not like Purdue hasn't embraced NIL. They have. You just said, where's Zach Edey at? And he said upwards and north of $1 million. Oscar Shewe down in in Kentucky. He made $1 million. So nobody can say there should be no like when. Here's what I'll say, Brandon. Like, it's mind-boggling, though, because kids are going from North Carolina to go to Michigan. Like, why? You can handle in North Carolina? What makes you think you're going to cut it in Michigan? That's how I look at it.
There's you're not wrong.
There's also some kookiness. It is what it is, man, because the rules are what they are. Like, you can get an extra year, fifth year, and you can kind of cash in on your fifth year. St. John, now here's the thing. Now, Rick Pitino also got some McDonald's All-American guys coming. But guess what? He also got some seniors that wanted to cash in on their senior year. So he got a kid. I think he got a kid from VMI. He got another kid from UConn. I was stunned by the kid from UConn. I was like, who from UConn transferred to St. John's? Is he going to crack? Because they just won the championship. Like, it ain't going to get no better than UConn, is it? Not right now.
Plus, he's wanting to go pro. He thinks Pitino can get him pro more.
But you know what? Guess what, Brandon? Even on the women's side, a basketball player from Stanford won that's top five program. Like, she said, I'm out.
Uh-huh.
Because of, like, players get frustrated because of players. Now, that's the other factor, though, Brandon. Players get frustrated of the lack thereof for player time, and they think it's because the coach is holding them down. No, the coach is saying, hey, man, on this level, this is where you are. There's a handful of guys. There's one handful of guys probably that went from a different school and went to it because the coach – and it got better. You know,
right.
Maybe I think about Lawrence Funder. Well, no, he was still good at here in Indiana. This is him and Bob Knight had a meeting of the minds and – he ended up transferring to Ohio State. But, again, your talent is what your talent is, man. Like, you a 10-point guy, Caleb Love was like a 20-point guy or whatever at North Carolina. Duke Killer, right? Excuse me, Duke
yeah.
Killer. Now you can't play no more? Are you coming to Michigan? Like, you think it's not going to get any easier, man. So I don't know where some of the kids' minds are at. But I do feel the pain and the passion and the frustration of the programs who are about doing things the right way, and that's what Purdue Athletics is about. And that's where I guess people kind of feel like Matt Painter came out whining. But, like, if you don't care about your program, then what do you care about? You know what I'm saying? If you don't care about your program and your game, then what do you care about? Matt, I would assume, Brandon, correct me wrong, Purdue and IU fans too. Nobody wants this. Nobody wants the in and out like Kentucky. I mean, nobody wants that. Nobody wants to turn out players like that with Calipari. Not around here. Indiana is not known for that, right?
Right.
We want, man, this kid is going to work out, and he's going to be a legend. We want Mike Woodson. Mike Woodson played for the freaking Indiana Hoosiers, and then he became the coach, man. That's damn near Disneyland stuff. Same with Matt Painter, man. So I feel their frustrations, but I also understand that, man, there's other people out here just writing blank checks on my hey, man, come play for me.
Right, right. Shout out Marcus Burton. Marcus Burton from Penn High School. They just announced was Indiana's Mr. Basketball this year. Marcus Burton, he is a Notre Dame basketball commit, so he'll be going for playing for Michael Shrewsbury. Up there. He was averaging 30 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals, 42% from the three-point line. So, shout-out Marcus Burton, one that got away from Purdue and from IU. I won't say he guess got away, because I guess with him being up there in Mishawaka and playing at Penn, he was already up there in the Notre Dame area. So
right.
Shout out to him. Congratulations.
Well, no, Brandon, the Ball State got the one all-star from Ben Davis, Indiana all-star.
Yeah,
Zach,
whatever. I can't think of his last name right now.
Don't butcher his name. It's Zach Doty.
Yeah.
Don't butcher his last name. Don't do that. Yeah, he signed with Ball State, man. That's another pickup for that program, man.
Yeah, so that was good. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Breaking news, y'all. Slow down.
Breaking news from the association. A jump ball at center court. Anthony Davis got poked in the eye by Desmond Bane. He's down.
Come on, man.
AD, street clothes. Hurt again. He gets up, walks to the bench. He's squinting his eye. He's got a little of a cut. He's got a cut eyelid. He's bleeding. So your boy Anthony Davis can't keep him healthy. I will save my rant next time for next show for Major League Baseball. There's too much going on right now with the rosin bags and throwing out these pitchers, saying that there's substance on their hands. I saw it in the Yankee game over the weekend. I just watched it today at the Mets and Dodgers game. They threw out Max Scherzer. There's got to be something done with that. The rosin bags, they're meant to be a little sticky, that once the substance is on your hands to do that. So they threw out Max Scherzer today, and he's pleading his innocence, and he was very animated, and I feel like he wouldn't be that animated if he didn't do it or if he did it. But also now he's facing a 10-game suspension possibly. So
wow.
We'll see what happens with that. By the way, speaking of suspensions and who's doing it, you're going to tell me they did. I forgot to say this for the NBA. They're going to suspend Draymond Green for what he did, and Domantas Sabonis sold it pretty well. And the person that's doing the ruling for disciplinary stuff is Joe Dumars, the former Bad Boy. Come on now, come on,
hey,
Joe.
Man, Joe Dumars, he was the angel of the Bad Boys too.
He's trying to earn a check.
Oh wow! You better stop that, man. Don't do that. Don't do Joe Dumars wrong, man.
He's just trying to earn that check. So
when he comes on the show, man, you won't be saying that.
Anything else, John? Before we go?
No, man. I think we hit on all cylinders today, man. It was great catching up with Coach Fleck from Ball State University, man. If I was 20 years younger, anyway, I had to be blown more than that. And had a good golf swing, man, I'd be trying to get the Ball State University to play for him. You know what I mean? That's kind of what they kind of got going on right now in Muncie, man. Me and Brandon and Reefer are on our way there. We got to put it on the calendar. That's all. After that, man, I want to say thank you to Wiseman Logistics, Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance, and Mavericks Custom Motorsports, man. How can we do the show without sponsors, man? Brandon. I haven't watched wrestling since Tuned Out, man. What am I missing?
Cody Rhodes, Brock Lesnar at Backlash. There's some stuff going on with the Usos that behind with Paul Heyman, so that'll be interesting to see what goes on with that. Seth Rollins is apparently not happy with some of the Vince McMahon changing some stuff as of late, so not sure what's going on with that. Your girl Trish Stratus had a heel turn, so she's back heel.
Oh my god!
Yeah, amazing. That's kind of all I say. By the way, next time that the Squared Circle Fest is in town and they're out there at Indianapolis Wyndham for the conference, we need to go out there for it. They had guys there.
Man, they didn't even have Jake Ullman, the homie who came on the show. He's the champ. He dropped the title to Matt Carbota. Woo, woo, woo. He dropped the title. The promotion need to get a little bit better around there, but I don't run that promotion. Sorry. But we'll figure it out.
Well, at least get the veteran. I mean, come on, man. The veteran's putting out some good reels, by the way, on Instagram. I'll say that.
He is. And, man, shout out to Danny Limelight if he's listening, man. Danny Limelight. He came this way, man. We gotta see him in person, man. At some point, they're doing more shows. He's United Network Wrestling Heavyweight Champion still, like 110 days running right now, man. And they came to Nashville. I don't know. We'll find some funding in the budget, man. But yeah, he's on his way back. But yeah, Charles Daniel Limelight, man. We'll connect. You know,
for
what I'm saying?
Sure.
Me and Brandon. For sure.
Here's my last hot take for you.
Go for it.
Instead of Rey Mysterio in the Hall of Fame, they should have put Raven in.
Man, you about not. Hey, man, don't be shading.
You mean Johnny Polo?
Why are you shading Raven, man?
He should have been in.
Raven,
I just watched
been
an interview
right,
with
right.
him.
They should have put.
He's saying Vince McMahon, the higher ups, don't see him that way.
Brandon, you said instead of.
Instead of. Yeah, instead of,
oh, wow.
They should have put him in instead of Ray.
Mm-hmm.
That's not real. Right. That's not right for Ray.
Another debate for another time, man. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.